Welcome to the Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators Podcast. I'm Jeff Jackson.
And I'm Ed Compion.
And we are blessed that you're tuning in today, and we would like to continue on with the subject of personal support raising. In our last podcast, what we did was we looked at the idea of that support raising isn't something that we should fear, that God knows all about it, that He wants us to do what He's called us to do, and that He's going to bring the resources we need to move forward. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some practical steps for raising support. And so, Ed, what would you think is the next step?
Well, it's all about relationships. For the missionaries being sent from directly from their church, it's all about deepening relationships, first with the Lord, of course, and then with those that love them, love the nations, and desire to see the Lord proclaimed among the nations. So, like all relationships, that participation, consummation relationship takes time. It's not something that just happens overnight. So I want to encourage missionaries right away, be prepared to deepen that relationship. And I'll ask Jeff to just review real quickly that participation, consummation idea.
Well, the basic idea is that when God calls somebody to go to the field, they have a number of relationships at a number of levels with a bunch of different people. And when they go to the field and now those people are given the opportunity to participate financially, it's sort of the enclosing of the relationship. There's a sort of a consummation, a crescendo of the relationship where now there's shared resources, practical resources, specifically finances, that they're now participating in giving. And that brings the relationship, in a sense, full circle. It blesses both the giver and the receiver.
And that shows that it's not only possible, but it's a biblical and time-proven method for sending out those God has called to reach His people.
So clearly, Ed, you believe that it's possible to raise the support needed for personal and ministry expenses, right?
Oh, absolutely. Not only is it possible, I've experienced it, you've experienced it, and you know, we through the ministry have helped many others experience it.
All right. So it seems like a huge project, a big project with many facets. How do you suggest that missionaries make this jump from, you know, working in the day-to-day world here to stepping into the realm of needing financial support to go to the field? Where do they begin?
Well, I'm going to start. In this podcast, I'm going to work on three sort of chronological ideas, a now, a then, and a future. And so it's going to be kind of the now stage, the intermediate stage, and what to look for in the long term.
Okay, so presuming that the missionaries now understand and their theology has been worked out regarding finances and support and getting to the field, what can the missionaries be doing right now?
Well, I like the term now, and I'm grabbing onto that. And that is to build a purpose and proposition statement.
A purpose and proposition statement. What can you define that?
Well, we may use the term vision statement and those sort of things. I'm not very concerned with the phrase, but here's what it is. It's a missionary purpose and proposition statement. It's a one-sentence vision communication which guides, provides, and defines a God-inspired future, allowing for review and evaluation over time. And that statement will clearly state the purpose of the mission, the very purpose for the missionary being on the field. Let me repeat that because it's kind of a mouthful for us. So a missionary purpose and proposition statement is a one-sentence vision communication which guides, provides, and defines a God-inspired future, allowing for review and evaluation over time.
Okay, so can you kind of give me some examples of what you mean by what it provides?
Well, it gives a clear course of direction for future decisions and to avoid distractions. In other words, you know, there's so much good to be done. And yet what we need to do is kind of focus on the exact calling God has for us. Not a good, better, best, but living in the best, the exact call God has for us. And then it gives a well-crafted statement to explain the work and to invite further discussion. And by that, what I mean is this purpose and proposition statement gives a foundation, sort of what all the other missionary communication will be built around. It's sort of the cornerstone of the communication effort a missionary will have with his or her supporters and his or her prayer team.
Okay, so just so I understand, it provides a clear path, a course, that will help them to make decisions in the future. And then it's also helpful to explain to other people what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Well, exactly. It helps the missionary themselves and their home church from getting off course. You know, if they've gone to purposely establish churches in a community, and yet then they start having this calling to go do water projects, that's good, but it may not be God's best because they can rely back on that statement that God had given them at an earlier time.
Okay, so what else does it provide?
It gives a clear explanation of how the gospel is being testified to in the work.
Oh, I can see that. That's super important. Explain that a little further.
Well, so often, you know, there's so many good works, and these days there's always, people that are saying, well, where's the gospel in the work?
So what does it mean that, you know, it should also provide a clear explanation of how the gospel is being testified to in the work?
It's very easy to get caught into works and be so focused on the works that we forget that we're there to bring the glory of God to people, let them know that God wants them reunited to himself and to come into a worship relationship. So let me give an example of someone maybe doing water projects in an arid region, and maybe a group of pastoralists in North Africa. Well, that's certainly important work, and certainly it's a good work. Well, in a purpose statement, if we can include we're working with local churches to bring living water and eternal life to people, now it reminds our hearers that this isn't just good work. It's not just providing water for temporal life, but adding or bringing water for eternal life.
Living water, like that.
Living water, exactly.
Okay, and then what else does it do, Ed?
Well, it provides a clear definition of success for when the mission is completed. And so if we don't know what we're aiming for, we may never hit it. And so when we have a clear purpose statement, then we know when we have reached the vision that God had given us.
Wow, so really a purpose and proposition statement provides sort of a multifaceted benefit when missionaries develop this, right?
Absolutely. I would say that this is among the most important things a home church can help their missionary kind of accomplish before they even begin communicating with others that there is a call.
Great, Ed. So just if some of this seems like overwhelming, please know that here at Shepherd Staff, we're in the midst of putting together blog posts on missionary communication and support raising and so forth that we've designed just to help people that are starting down this path. And we're happy to coach you through these at whatever level you need our help with. And Ed, now we've talked about what missionaries need to do now. What do they need to do immediately?
Well, I think even as the initial communication is going on with their home church or soon after, there needs to be the establishment of a budget because the home church and others will soon ask, well, what's needed? And that's the secret language. Well, something is needed to send me, to keep my family there, to establish ministry in country and those sort of things. So a ministry budget probably needs to be established. And I can't overemphasize enough, do that in communication with the home church.
Absolutely. And so is this then the time to begin communicating the vision with others outside their home church?
You know, that's probably going to happen, but I wouldn't be aggressive about it yet. I would wait until your home church gives that sort of okay, because everything you're doing is an extension of their vision. And until they release you to begin that process, I would really kind of hold back. In truth, though, and I'm not necessarily endorsing this, you know, missionary types, we leak. And so those people we ask to pray for us and family members and small group teams and things like that, they're going to know what's going on. Hopefully they've already been praying for you. Hopefully they're confirming the call in you.
Absolutely. So give me some more practical examples of some of the tools that they may have at their disposal.
Well, once that home church has gone ahead and kind of given that approval, then you begin with the relationships that are you already have. Those people that know and love you, that care for the nations, that want to see you go well, and you start building those relationships. And maybe even sending out newsletters, and maybe even just making initial contacts with them. Not necessarily asking for support, but you're saying, I need prayer. We're beginning this process. We need prayer. And then expand that list. The point here is you're building a list. Expand it. Think of former churches. Think of former relationships that you had in a work setting or relationships that you had in a former Sunday school setting. Think of how that list can be expanded way beyond your initial thoughts.
So in many ways, this is sort of the launch for the completion of the participation consummation idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there are people that love you and care about you, and they want to be part of what God's doing in your life. And really, some of them not only want to be part, they're really curious. Hey, man, I know that missionary, or before you're a missionary, I know that person had a call in their life. I'm so excited by what God's doing that there's finally kind of this crescendo of, they've acknowledged it. They're getting ready to go.
Great. Well, that gives me a good understanding of the now stage, but what's next?
Well, that's just it. There's four steps in this shit stage. And the first is I suggest you contact Shepherd staff. And I don't just say that in the sense of trying to sell Shepherd staff. Not that we make much off our missionaries. But I mean that in the sense we desire to help. And we can be a sounding board. We can be a coach. We can do many things. And so we desire to help. So contact us and make sure, along with your home church, we're a good fit. And if not, we may have a suggestion for another mission organization that may be a better fit for you. And then consider your support base and pray through and maybe even talk with others the preferred method of communication. Some people are going to like hard copy newsletters. Some people are going to follow you on a blog. Some people are going to desire bulk emails. So begin considering what the most effective way to communicate with your support base will be. And then with your home church, develop an ongoing communications plan with supporters based around frequency and consistency in your preferred communication method. And for example, you may decide that a hard copy newsletter every 6 weeks or every 2 months is sufficient, with maybe, you know, weekly email prayer updates would be a good model for you. There's many models out there. I'm not going to necessarily endorse any one. I'm going to say I'm endorsing a plan that God would give you and that you would follow through with it in the frequency and consistency to get the prayer requests out and get the relationships being built. And then finally in this area, explain to churches and individuals how they now have an opportunity to directly partner with you, to directly partner with helping God get proclaimed among those that are waiting to hear.
Great. So we've got a pretty good handle on the now. And the next stage, what does the future look like? What's the long-term view?
Well, you're right. We spoke now and we spoke of then. Now let's look in the future. And this is the final step. It's looking towards the long term. And I'm asking you again to kind of build a plan. And by this, I mean submit it to the Lord, lay it at His feet, and, you know, it may get changed as you go. But there's a couple steps I think would be good. Immediately start building an attitude of gratitude to those that begin supporting the work. Remember, it may take you more than a year to get to the field as you begin raising support for your initial entry into the field and then for your ongoing living expenses and ongoing ministry expenses, but immediately begin sending thank you notes. Immediately begin preparing for praying for your supporters. One family that we knew on the mission field, they had index cards, and every evening at dinner, they would pull out the name of a supporter on their index card and be able to pray for that supporter, even often emailing those supporters and say, hey, how can we be in prayer for you? It's one of the things that the missionaries can give back. Another family with a bunch of homeschooled kids, they actually built little, you know, picture galleries in their hallways and with the names of their supporters that they could be praying for. So I encourage you to have an attitude of gratitude for your supporters. And then as you continue, determine future ministry project needs and designate funds to be set aside for them. And by that, I mean, you know, you may enter the field and you have initial costs for language school, or you have initial costs, you know, for a vehicle and things like that. But down the road, there may be other needs. And so be thinking of those and begin thinking of project funds that you'll need to be setting aside. And then begin planning a furlough. And I know we haven't even gotten you to the field yet, but my point on this is begin collecting the testimonies, begin collecting the pictures, and file those away a little bit so that as newsletters come out, and then certainly when the furlough comes out, you have something to begin sharing with people as that goes on.
Oh, that's great. So I guess as I listen to this and these three steps now, then, and the future, is it really this easy?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
And, you know, Jeff, you and I have taught in missions training, you know, programs over the years and such. And there's no way that this is comprehensive. This is really just a taste. It's a way to encourage our listeners to take the next steps, to either contact us for coaching or, you know, maybe contact us for some books that we may suggest, or to go through some formal training. This is really just an introduction and a hope to get people started in where they need to go in raising their support.
Oh, that's great, Ed. Well, I think that's going to close it out for this two-part series on personal support raising. So do you have any final thoughts, Ed?
Yeah, it goes back to even what how we began this podcast series. There's likely at least concern, but I would dare say even fear in some missionaries or potential missionaries. I would even say for some, they've avoided the missionary call because of the fear of raising support. I want to encourage you, there's no need for that. God desires to send. And not because sending is so good. He desires that more worshipers would come to him. So he's going to make that happen. It's prophetic. He will send his people to call more to himself. So it will happen. And I don't want you to have fear. I want you to have joy as you do this.
Amen. And many others have gone before you, and God has been faithful to meet their needs, and amazing things have taken place. So we look at it as a privilege and an honor to take that step of faith and throw ourselves into complete dependency on God to Amen. Meet our needs through other brothers and sisters and what he's blessed them with. Thanks, and God bless you guys.